Evening, ma'am. Can I buy you a drink?
I don't think so.
You don't know what you're missing.
You sure you want to go without me? It's like your top of the line A-game material.
It's The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape and the lifestyle it creates. Now, here's your host for The Wine Crush, Laura Lawson.
Does everybody know what time it is?
All the things we believe in are in great danger.
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay sipping diva, and you are tuning in to another version of The Crush, the only show on radio that's devoted to all about the grape and all its glory. And I am coming to you a little bit jet-lagged, so you'll have to bear with me. But we have survived Memorial Day, and we are moving on into the summer travel season. And that is the highlight of today's show. That is definitely what we are talking about. After we get past Memorial Day, I know everyone starts thinking about, what am I going to do for summer vacation? Don't you remember those times we were in high school and we thought about our summer vacation away from school and thought, oh my God, we have 3 months to do nothing. I miss those days, desperately miss those days. In fact, I was reading over a whole bunch of brochures about summer camp, and I think summer camp is wasted on kids. You know, I know the adults and parents need a break, but I think adults need to go to summer camp. Well, in light of that, that's exactly what I have done. I had dear friends go out and get married in Napa Valley. So a group of us took a small break and went to our own adult summer camp and went out and terrorized the valley. And in doing so, came up with a lot of fodder for today's show. But fortunately, you won't have to listen to just my reminiscences of Napa Valley. We have two great guests today. We have Rob Renteria. He is the wine director of the Martini House in St. Helena. And we have Scott Jones. He is the food and wine executive editor for Southern Living Magazine. So we have other people to help us tie in. But what we're hoping to achieve today is to give you some guideposts and some advice on traveling out to Napa Valley. Everyone's talking this year about the economy and how people aren't going to travel as much and going to take these grand vacations. So that's something that I really want you to focus on, our quote-unquote staycations. For those of you on the West Coast, it's very easy for you to hop in your car and tool up to the valley. Those of us on the East Coast, airfares are at record lows right now, so it doesn't cost you that much to fly across the country, land in San Fran, rent a car, and drive up. It's a lot of fun. It's definitely restful, and I advise it for everyone. However, for those of you who are planning on the East Coast to fly over to San Francisco, just understand it's going to take you as long to get through the airport and get your rental car as it does to fly over there.
You sound like a frustrated traveler.
I am not a totally frustrated traveler. By now, I should have traveling to the West Coast down to a science, but I am still just amazed. And I was going to save this tidbit for later in the show, but for my East Coast brethren who are deciding to go out to the West Coast, contrary to what you'll think when you land, the whole state of California is not on Quaaludes. They just move a lot slower than we do, and it takes a little bit of adjusting. But once you get out to the sunny state of California, see the beautiful weather, the beautiful countryside, you understand why they take their time and smile and relax and are polite. And yeah. Kent, since you know me, well, you know I have a problem with all that.
All except, what was the highway I was on that went through San Rafael up into wine country?
101.
Everybody was driving like maniacs when I was there. It was just weird.
I think a lot of people think that, but all you have to do is grow up in Atlanta like I did, and you'll understand, stay in the left-hand lane and move.
Okay.
Yes, that was the other strange thing. The HOV lane out there is for three people, not two people like it is on the East Coast. And as the kind officer explained to me as I pulled out my southern drawl and said, "Why, officer, I honestly did not know that." So they are very kind and very understanding. But as I get off track, the whole point is to get you focused on Napa Valley. And it is truly the experience of a lifetime to go out there, to see the beauty, to see the scenery. And, of course, for those of you, whether you're novices in wine or you're true aficionados, this is the ultimate mecca to go and to learn. So we're going to focus. I'm going to give you some great must-dos in Napa, and I'm going to have some other people give you some great advice on what you should and shouldn't do while you're out there. But before I get off, of course, every week I have to give you my wine recommendations. And I'm going to go a little off the track like I did out in wine country. There is a winery in Carneros called Etude. Etude, pretty little place, great property to sit and have a glass of wine. And what's neat, for those of you who've been out in the wine country a lot, this is a good diversion for you. Because you walk into Etude and you walk into a tasting room slash office, and everyone's sitting at their desk and looking at you as you walk in the door. And I promise you, you are not in the wrong place. These people spend their day waiting for people to come in. They do their paperwork in between. Then they get up and pour you wine and talk to you and sell you wine. But Etude does a wine called Pinot Gris. And it is not the Pinot Grigio that most of y'all know that's a little bit light-bodied. And it's not the oily, minerally Pinot Gris that you tend to get across the pond. It is light. It is refreshing. It has a great floral characteristic to it. It is very reasonably priced, and it gives you a good feel, really, of what California is about. Because you taste it, you taste all the floral, you taste all gardenias, you taste all the roses. It is just very, very satisfying. So for those of you out there looking for something unique for your table, Etude Pinot Gris is definitely a good recommendation. Another one I'm going to recommend is from St. Helena, St. Clement Abbot Chardonnay. And once again, for those of you heading out to Napa Valley, it is worth going all the way up to St. Helena and parking at St. Clement. Now, for those of you who are planning to go see this lovely, beautiful old Victorian house winery, for our listeners, you'll remember that Danielle Sereau, the winemaker, was on the show. It is worth the trek up the hill. Now, there's some of you in your cars that are laughing right now, understanding exactly what I'm talking about, but it was one winery that I would recommend seeing early in the day, because you park at the bottom and you have to go straight up this big hill. But once you get to the top, the people in the tasting room are wonderful. They're very friendly, and they will tell you a story about Abbott Chardonnay. And I encourage all of you to go hear about Abbott and his unique habits as he got older and how he was kind of the legendary fixture around St. Clement. But the Chardonnay, it's not something you can get in your Mega Mart. It's not something you can get in your grocery store. You can call the winery or go on the website and get it. But it is very lush. It is very heavy-bodied. It has a great persona to it. It does have a little bit of a tropical fruit to it, but it has a great minerality to balance it out. So for those of you who are on the track for something unique, definitely look for Abbott's Chardonnay. And definitely ask the tasting room people, who are bar none some of the best in the valley, to tell you the story about old Abbott and his failing eyesight. Ken, I'm sure you can relate to that, can't you?
Thank you very much for pointing that out. Yes.
Well, I know, so you're back there waving at me, waving at me every time you're talking about the French, that I figured you just couldn't see me.
Ah.
Fair enough. So, of course, it wouldn't be the show without your calls, your emails, and, of course, your opinions. And we asked all of you to reach out to us, 877-4CRUSH1, or email us, info@winecrush.com. Well, we've got a great show coming up for you as soon as we take a small break.
A party? And you didn't invite us?
The Wine Crush.
You ain't getting rid of us that easy.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need affordable health insurance to get it. So call us right now. 800-700-5437. 800-700-5437. 700-5437. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable health insurance, call us now and see how we can help you. 800-700-5437. 800-700-5437. That's 800-700-5437. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
If you're self-employed or run a small business, you know your business bottom line. But do you know your bottom line when it comes to your family's health insurance? The Mega Life and Health Insurance Company helps self-employed folks and small business owners focus on the bottom line every day when it comes to their health insurance plans. Here's the bottom line. If you don't have the right health insurance plan, you could be in trouble. Check your health insurance coverage today and call Mega, where the bottom line is quality health insurance designed for the self-employed and small business owners.
Call now for your free health insurance quote.
800-700-5437. 800-700-5437. That's 800-700-5437. Market and plans vary by state. Not licensed in New York. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Association group plans, where available, require association membership.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Honey, put this on top of the minivan.
We're only going for 2 weeks. You want me to pack the kitchen sink, too?
Well, is there room?
Hey, you guys, you going on vacation?
Who's that?
I don't know.
Because we're planning on robbing your house tonight.
All right, I'm calling an alarm service.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor. Or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
And I am Laura Lawson, and you are listening to The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape and all its glory. We are on our quest for the perfect visit to Napa Valley, and we are giving you our opinions and how we think you can best see the valley today. But right now, we are going to have a wonderful guest who can give you an outside opinion on it. We have Scott Jones. He is the food and wine executive editor of Southern Living Magazine. Scott, welcome to The Wine Crush.
Nice to be here. Thank you.
Oh, I'm delighted to have you. I've been a fan of Southern Living since my mother was a fan, since my grandmother was a fan. You're a staple in my house, to say the least.
Super.
So it's always fun when I pick up Southern Living and I get to see something about my two favorite passions. One's the gardening with Steve Bender,
yeah.
But the other is, of course, you talking about wine.
Right.
And recently, I know y'all did an edition on talking about visiting the wine country.
Well, we've done a good bit of stuff about wine country, particularly some of our great regions here in the South, and we've also touched at various times on Napa and Sonoma.
Well, of course, anytime anyone can get off their couch, get out their door, and hit a winery within an hour and a half, which, in all honesty, most people in the country can do, it's a great way to spend an afternoon.
Right.
What advice do you have people who are seeking to visit, whether it's Napa, Sonoma, or their local wine country? What's the best way they can enjoy the day?
Well, to learn how to enjoy wine by sipping rather than imbibing a little too much too early. It's about the long haul, and you really want to be able to, obviously you want to have fun and not make it, too much of an academic experience. But, you know, if you really do want to learn more about wine, I think, kind of taking the opportunity to meet with some of the folks in the tasting room, learn how to taste, learn about the nuances of the various grapes. And that, to me, that's one of the coolest things, is just learning how different, you know, they talk about terroir and how different grapes, you know, taste from different regions. Again, whether it's in our own backyard in the, here in the South, or whether it's in other parts of wine country around America.
I don't think it matters what country you're in or where you are within our great country. Great words of wisdom. Remember, right. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Absolutely.
I think a lot of people fall victim to the sprint mentality. Oh, I have to go here. I have to go there. I have to go there. And then by about 12:30, they really aren't interested in doing anything.
That's exactly right.
Unfortunately, I think I've seen several of my friends fall victim to that. Well, tell me a little bit about food and wine. What do you do as far as the wine portion? Do you travel around? Do you go to these tasting rooms? Do you go to different regions? Give us your experience.
I do. Actually, one of the, you know, I feel really blessed to be able to actually draw a paycheck writing about food and wine. But primarily because our readership, I mean, while we have 16 million readers every month, our magazine focuses on the region of the South. And so most of my time is really spent exploring the wine regions in what I would consider my own backyard, from Virginia to North Carolina to Texas. And occasionally I am fortunate enough to get out to the West Coast and hit, you know, California and Washington, for example. But our focus is on the wine growing regions of the South and how that really plays with the cuisine of the South. And I think that we've got a really growing wine industry here, and, you know, obviously a longstanding tradition in terms of our cuisine. And I think they're really finally coming together in many ways.
I would have to agree with you on that. And I go back, it doesn't matter whether you're in country or without, whether
sure.
I'm going to Chateau Alon in Georgia, whether I'm going to Childress up in North Carolina,
right.
whether I'm going to West Bend up in Virginia.
Exactly.
There are certain things that always apply when you're right. visiting these tasting rooms.
Right.
Do you have any golden rules besides don't sprint when you're visiting these tasting rooms?
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things that I really try and take advantage of is being smart about actually buying some wines and bringing them back home to get out the good word. You know, that's one of my one of the things that I'm really encouraging folks in the magazine. Again, whether it is a wine shipping friendly state like California, or whether you're going to a place here in the South where you really have to grab some bottles and chuck them in your car and drive them back, I really encourage folks to not miss the opportunity to think about, you know, kind of how they'll go there, taste those wines, find ones they love, bring them back, and continue the process. Actually. You know, once they've left the winery, whether it's back in their hotel with friends or, you know, back at their supper table, that's another thing that I really try and encourage folks to do, is not miss the opportunity to, because, you know, you really, throughout that course of the day, you're going to be limited. You know, there's just only so many wines you can taste in a day. But, you know, I really try and take advantage of those wines that I really want to, maybe lay down and age a little bit, or, you know, again, taking the opportunity to buy wines that are say tasting room specific that you can't get, say, through a mailing list, or, you know, in a some kind of another consumer setting, whether at a wine store, whatever, that are really exclusive to those tasting rooms. And that's something that I think a lot of people miss. They go there, they try a wine, they love it, but they don't realize that it may be exclusive to the tasting room, and they miss an opportunity to enjoy that at a later date.
I think that's one of the greatest joys of going to a tasting room wherever you're going, is that it doesn't matter whether your winemaker says that he is devoted to Chardonnay and Pinot.
Right.
I guarantee somewhere in that cellar is one little barrel. Well, I found this great Gewürztraminer, I found this great Riesling, or I really like this Charbonneau that came
sure.
in, and I want to play around with it. And I think anytime you go in a tasting room, those are the gems you ought to look for.
That's right.
Whether Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, does not matter. Those are always the fun stuff and the ones you can impress your friends with.
You bet. And another thing that I would really encourage folks to do, and again, and, you know, one of my, you know, top list of things to do in tasting rooms is, you know, just kind of go in there with an open mind, and don't be afraid to say that you don't know everything about wine, and be open-minded, because the folks in the tasting rooms should really respond to that. And that's when you really learn a lot of great stuff that you might otherwise miss, or you may, you know, open up a dialogue with the winemaker who might be pouring that day, and end up, you know, just he may, like you said, may have that great, bottle of something or another he's been playing around with that he might be willing to share, he or she might be willing to share, that could open up a whole new experience. So I really encourage folks to leave the wine snobbery at the door and just go in open-minded and willing to learn and have fun.
You're stealing some of my best ideas, because that is definitely one key I will give to anybody wherever you are. If you walk in there pretending like you know everything, nobody's going to want to tell you a thing.
Yeah.
And you're going to miss out so much of that great opportunity that you had to learn.
Right. And, and I think even for folks who are not regular, folks who've not spent a lot of time in tasting rooms, if you've been in one, there's usually kind of one in every crowd, and you realize that that they're missing a whole. I mean, they're really missing the entire experience.
I promise you this: the person who goes into a tasting room experience saying they know it all is probably the least educated of the bunch.
Well said. That's exactly right.
And that's the only way to look at it.
That's exactly right.
Well, it's always fun looking at it from your perspective. When you go in, anytime I talk to a food and wine editor, this is what I like to ask them. Is it all about the food or is it all about the wine?
Well, for me, because I trade in both, and I think, again, just speaking regionally, it's so important for us to I've got a bit of a chip on my shoulder about this, because I think the cuisine of the South gets a lot more pub than some of the great wines that we're producing here, and I think it's time that we probably spend a little more time thinking about how that wine works with the food. So when I'm usually in a tasting room, I am thinking about how I can take that information back to the readers and give them practical applications for those wines. So if it's a great Sangiovese that I've had in Virginia, well, you know what? I'm going to come back and try and pair that with recipes that may fit, that will fit with that wine, so they can, because for many of our readers, some of these varietals may be new to them, and they're looking for some, a little more help with how you might serve these. But then, there are times when I'm just doing it on my day off. Say my wife and I have an opportunity to go together. Well, then I'll throw off the food editor hat and just, sit and enjoy wine, just like the next person, just hungry to learn, hungry to get that experience. So it depends on which hat I have on. But generally, when I'm in there, on the clock as, a food editor and wine editor, I'm looking at how not only can I discover, the next great wine that's coming out of a particular state, but how I then bring that back and give it some practical takeaways and ways to use for our readers.
Scott, without a doubt, you have hit on three of the greatest points of traveling to wine country wherever you go, and I appreciate you being on The Crush today. For those of us that want to check out more of Scott Jones, you can find out at southernliving.com. And Scott, hopefully I can sweet talk you to come back on the show, and we'll talk a little bit more about the Southern cuisine and the great wines that go with it.
It'd be my pleasure.
All right, Scott, will you take care? And for those of you listening, we have more great stuff coming up on The Crush. All you have to do is wait a little bit while we take a small break.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch? You're not alone. Increasing prices and the costs of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts. American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status, and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts and collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes? Between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a 1,000,000-year-old beach? Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air? Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration, man automatically adapts to environmental conditions.
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn up on the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their roiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov. A message from the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
You can't judge an apple by looking at a tree. You can't judge honey by looking at the bee. You can't judge a daughter by looking at the mother. You can't judge a book by looking at the cover.
Welcome back to The Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your Chardonnay sipping diva, and we are tripping you down Napa Valley and giving you some great ideas for those of you who either want to do a staycation or for those of you who just want to take a nice leisurely break during this summer. Well, we just spoke with Scott Jones from Southern Living Magazine. I realize in some parts of the country you can't relate to that, but he does give great advice, and I will hit on 3 of his points. Remember, if you're going to go to Napa or any wine country, it's a marathon, not a sprint. Always be open-minded, and always when you're there, think about how the wines that you are tasting will apply to your everyday life once you are gone from the valley or wherever you are, because this is something that holds true no matter how much wine travel you do. That wine that you taste in the tasting room probably will never taste as good as it does right at that moment. It is the time, it is the place, it is the people. But on the same token, it's always great to grab a bottle. And I'm kind of going to go into that for the next few segments, things you have to do when you're in Napa. One of those things Scott did touch on, when you're out there and you're in the tasting rooms in Napa Valley, there are always pet projects of winemakers. They are things that sometimes don't even make the wine club or the website. Always look for those things first. Whether you're going to Behringer, whether you're going to Vinecliff, whether you're going to any unique winery, look for the things that are not publicly broadcast. Those are going to be unique, they're going to be different, and those are worth taking home. So, piece of advice, when you're out there, definitely look for things off the beaten track. But also, as you're tripping through Napa, the first piece of advice I can give you, plan your work and work your plan. I know all of you out there are cringing hearing that old cliche, but it's true. Understand this, when you talk about going to Napa Valley, it encompasses 6 different cities. There's Napa, there's Yountville, there's Oakville, there's Rutherford, there's St. Helena, and there is Calistoga. And all of those cities have different personalities and different things to offer. So if you have your heart set on seeing St. Clement up in St. Helena, but your friend wants to see Domaine Chandon down in Napa, you cannot spend your day driving up and down Highway 29 without one to pull your hair out. So sit down and come up with a logical plan. Think, where do I want to go? There's a great book out there. It's just called Napa. You can pick it up from your concierge. You can pick it up in most of the wineries. And it's a little guidebook that's given out for free that tells you where all the wineries are, what their phone numbers are, and whether or not they're open to the public. I suggest the moment you get your rental car and you cruise into one of these wineries, pick that book up first. It will save you a lot of aggravation. But because this show is all about you, I am going to take a couple of emails right now. Right now, we have an email from Doug, and Doug writes, what does it cost to go to wineries, and when are they open? Well, that brings up a very good point, Doug. When you're thinking about going out to the wineries, understand that it's going to cost you something generally to taste the wines. For those of you who are in the restaurant business, for those of you who are somehow in the beverage business, a lot of times you can go out there and hand them your card and you will get a discount or they will go ahead and taste you. But for the rest of us in the general public, once you walk in, you need to expect to pay for something. Tastings range out there anywhere from $5 a person to even up to $25 and $35 a person. So this is something, it's very easy to get overwhelmed going in $5, $10 here, $5, $10 here, and all of a sudden it seems like you spent a lot of money. But we do have a couple of pieces of advice when you're doing that. Keep in mind, you can share these tastings. Like if you're going into Opus and they're going to charge you $25, understand that you two can sip off those glasses. So, Doug, be prepared. You need to call ahead if you're concerned about what wineries are charging what. And once again, I refer back to that little book you can get when you go out there called Napa. It will usually tell you the phone numbers and tell you what it costs. As far as Napa, when are wineries open? They run from 10 to 4 pretty much consistently. So that only gives you 6 hours to go and see your favorite wineries. For those of you who are going out to Napa, I recommend not trying to hit more than 3 of them. For those of you who have not been out there, understand that once you get on Highway 29, you're going to feel like a little dog in the back seat because your head's just going to bounce from one side of the street to the other. And it's literally property after property after property. It's not going to be hard to search from these wineries. You get on 29, you're going to pass Nickel and Nickel to Opus, to Sequoia Grove, to Cake Bread, to Alpha Omega, instantly. It's going to be flashing by, and there's a lot of people who are hitting their brakes without turn signals out there. Just for those of you who are not paying attention, it's real easy to rear-end someone or get rear-ended because the wineries literally are on top of each other. So keep that in mind that, yes, it's going to cost you something. They are open from 10 to 4, and they are all on top of each other. So, Doug, I hope you have a good trip out there, and we certainly want to hear how your trip goes. For those of you who have comments or questions or want to further on my response to Doug, call us 877-4CRUSH1 or email us info@winecrush.com.
I have a question.
Okay, Kent.
All of these wineries that you come upon, they're one right after the other, right after the other.
Right.
Can they be that markedly different?
Yes.
They really are.
They really.
Because the dirt would be pretty much the same, the growing conditions virtually identical. So how are they so different?
The dirt actually, Kent. We're not going to bore our listeners entirely to death.
I'm not allowed to talk about dirt.
I'm not allowed to talk about dirt, but I will say this. The wineries are different because the winemakers make them different.
Yeah.
Whether you go from Cake Bread to Sequoia Grove to Nickel and Nickel, all winemakers out there have a vision in their head of how the terroir and how their grapes should best express themselves. So it doesn't matter whether you are sitting there in Oakville and you go to Nickel and Nickel and turn around and go to Alpha Omega and turn around and go to Farniente. Everything tastes a little bit different.
Uh-huh.
Plus, let's face facts, there's a lot of people that are tied up in the cachet of a name and they want that shirt. They want to say, hey, I went to Farniente. Hey, I went to Opus. Hey, I went to Mondavi. It's the overall experience and seeing what a winery has to offer to everybody else.
Yeah.
Because Kent does bring a great point. There are no two wineries out there alike. There are no two wineries out there that have the same attitude or feel. And that's something you'll learn in Napa. There are certain places where you're going to walk into and you're going to feel instantaneously comfortable. You're going to feel like, I want to pull up a chair. I'm going to sit here. I'm going to relax. there are definitely the opposite spectrum of that. You're going to walk into some wineries and think, my God, my shoes aren't polished enough and my hair's in a ponytail. Am I really where I'm supposed to be? So keep that in mind when you're out there. There are certain wineries that will suit your personality no matter what it is. Well, moving on, I have another email. This is from Alicia. Alicia writes, is there a dress code to go to the wineries in Napa Valley? I have heard some of them can be a little bit stringent on their policies. Well, Alicia, no, there is not a set dress code in Napa Valley. But for those of you who are going to go out there, say, to take a formal tour, if you've called ahead to BV and say, hey, I want to see your line, I want to see your bottling, I want to see your barrel room, I would advise this. Wear closed-toed shoes. That's easy for you to say. And also, I would advise lawn pants, because when you start getting in cellars, when you start getting around the fact they've washed these places down, your shoes can get wet, your toes can get wet, your legs can get dirty. Plus, you're going to be around some machinery. It's easier to treat it like you are going to a place of business. And definitely, people are not going to turn you away from how you're dressed, but I would always say business casual in Napa. Sonoma is a whole different animal, but Napa, definitely business casual. Put your jeans up, save them for wherever else you are going. But I would advise anyone to visit, no denim allowed, and certainly make sure you're wearing comfortable shoes when you're going out through there. So, Alicia, I hope that helps, but if anyone else has any other opinions, I'm sure someone would like to argue with me on that. But if you're going to argue, you're going to have to wait until we come back, because we have to take a small break right now.
A toast, yeah? To high treason. That's what these men were committing when they signed the Declaration. Had we lost the war, they would have been hanged, beheaded, drawn and quartered. Oh, my personal favorite. Had their entrails cut out and burned. So, here's to the men who did what was considered wrong in order to do what they knew was right.
The Wine Crush.
Z-Max. It helps your car, truck, motorcycle, or boat save gas and last longer. The secret of Z-Max is micro-lubrication. Z-Max penetrates deep into the metal of your engine and drivetrain where regular oil can't. Z-Max reduces heat and friction, dissipates carbon buildup, restores power, and reduces fuel consumption. Z-Max maintains mileage in your new car and improves mileage in your older car. It works. Log on to Z-Max.com to find a Z-Max retail performance partner. Z-Max. Performance you can feel.
I heard in the news the other day about how one man's $3,000 credit card balance exploded to over $10,000 in no time at all. As good as the plastic in your wallet may be, if you run into any problems with your credit card companies, they'll hit you so hard with late and over-limit fees that your head'll spin, and so will your debt. At that point, you cannot stop your runaway debt problem. Well, yes, you can. If your credit card debt is out of control, you're getting collection calls, you're mad as hell, and you can't take it anymore, call us and one of our partner companies will negotiate on your behalf and show you strategies to help you get out of debt.
If you have $10,000 or more in unsecured debt, call now for a free debt analysis. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815.
When a legend like Carroll Shelby puts Z-Max in every car he owns, maybe you should too.
I know it works.
Z-Max with micro-lubrication reduces wear on vital engine parts and increases horsepower. If you're a custom engine builder or a do-it-yourselfer, Z-Max belongs in your car. Z-Max. Easy to use. One in your gas and one in your oil every 5,000 miles. Take it from Carroll Shelby.
I put my name on the line on that, and I mean it.
Log on to ZMAX.com and find a retail performance partner. ZMAX. Performance you can feel.
Mozart toasties are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious.
And so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes.
And soon you'll realize how impactful your kids' involvement in the arts can be.
They'll get better grades, make more friends, and express their individuality. When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius,
Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Laura Lawson, you're listening to The Wine Crush and some great advice from Miss Coco Taylor herself. But that is exactly what you're doing when you're out in Napa Valley. You are letting the good times roll. And as we are talking about insider tips to make your trip to Napa outstanding, I have a secret guest with us today, and that is Mr. Rob Renteria. He is the wine director for the Martini House, probably my favorite restaurant out in the valley, located in St. Helena. And he is joining us today to tell us all about fun stuff he does with his wine list. Rob, welcome to The Crush.
Hi, nice to talk to you again.
It's nice to talk to you, too. For our listeners, I had warned them I had been out in Napa and told them I had been dropping in places, and you're one of the few people I shanghaied.
Well, thank you. It was a pleasure meeting you, and I'm really happy to be, just chatting with your listeners, I guess, just giving any kind of insight that I can.
That's what we like to hear. Today we're talking about visiting the valley, but something I want to focus on since you're on the phone. For those of you who listen to the show, you know I kind of have a sardonic take on the whole world of wine. This is probably one of the best written, neatest wine list I have seen. It is laid back. It encourages you to investigate. Rob, tell us how you come up with this great wine list at the Martini House.
Thank you, by the way. And I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. I'm a fairly laid back person. And, the whole idea is just to have fun. And when I first arrived at the restaurant, the list was listed in a very different kind of manner in which it is now. And I just kind of wanted to reinvent the wheel and kind of be able to list things how I kind of view them in my own dyslexic kind of way of thinking, so to speak, and we also wanted to add a little bit of humor to it as well. My first assistant that I had when I was first there, her name is Amanda Reed, and she was great, and we both were like musicians in which we riffed off one another as far as our sense of humor was concerned. So I think that's been one of the best things, is just really not to take it too seriously and just go from there and just kind of add into it and so forth.
I think that's key for our listeners who are going to the Valley or thinking about planning a trip out there. People are concerned when they go out there that it's all French Laundry, it's all this big fine dining, and everybody is going to take wine very seriously. And that's why I love you being part of the show, because you're kind of the antithesis of that. You show that wine's just part of a lifestyle. It's to be enjoyed and to be savored, not to be worshipped.
Yeah, it's really, it's weird. Being up here, I think also, too, is that when I moved up here, I moved from San Francisco, and my attitude was a little bit, I'm very much an insider here, but I feel very much like an outsider just because I did move from San Francisco and whatnot, and it's very locals only here and so forth, and I don't know, it's just really weird. I've never really felt like I kind of have to play by the rules here and so forth, much to the consternation, I guess, of the locals themselves. So
that's what we like to hear.
It's nice to be able to, have fun with the list and not be committed to having to do things and stuff. I mean, everybody's runs a restaurant in their own wine list the way that they see to it and so forth. But I think a lot of that has to do with the chef as well. He's got Chef Todd Humphreys has a great sense of humor, and we kind of rip off one another, and nothing is too sacred for us to try and pull the curtains back and make it see how it really works. So, yeah.
That's always a favorite. For our listeners, the Martini House is a restaurant located in St. Helena. Rob, do you want to touch a bit on your cuisine and the history of the house?
Sure. Sure, yeah. Martini House is, it's an old craftsman style house in architecture, and it dates back to the early 20s of the early 1920s. And the original inhabitant was his name was Charles Walter Martini, and he was an exile from San Francisco after the 1906 earthquake, and he made his house, that was his house, and he was also the proprietor at a hotel just across the street called the William Tell Hotel.
And so we have martinis and we have William Tell. Does that mean you have apple martinis?
We do have apple martinis, exactly.
Yeah, and for our listeners, I think a lot of people go up to St. Helena and they say, oh, the Martini House, there's not going to be wine there. But now you know it's totally a misnomer. It's just the name of a man, not the name of a drink.
Right, and no, and we do have a lot of cocktails as well. So
I didn't notice that at all, really.
Yeah, well, that's good. You know, as I said, it's something for everybody. That's what the name of the restaurant refers to, is Walter Martini. The restaurant is owned and operated by Pat Coletto Restaurant Group, and he's also he designed the building as well, or the interior, and he has a few restaurants in San Francisco. And then our chef is Todd Humphreys, and Chef Todd was the chef at the Campton Place in San Francisco before he moved up here.
So we definitely have a great pedigree between your wine background and between Chef Humphreys. We definitely encourage our listeners to go and visit the Martini House. And Rob, I'm going to have to sweet talk you and have you back on the show because I want to tell our listeners down the road about the Sommelier Smackdown.
But, oh, yeah. You can see how that goes. That's actually tonight. And not to rub it into the face of your readers, but I'm actually prepping for this by having sushi and drinking wine right now.
Well, I like the way you think, and unfortunately, I'm going to have to take a small break because my Chardonnay glass is empty, and we know I can't continue a show without it. So, Rob,
okay.
Thank you for being part of the Crush, and I will definitely have you back and see how the Smackdown went.
Thank you, and if I can just say one last thing, if people are interested in learning more about the restaurant and the wine list, we can be found at www.martinihouse.com.
Perfect, and you will be linked on The Crush here shortly. All right, more on The Crush and our favorite Napa recommendations when we return.
There's more Wine Crush in just a moment.
The days of wine and roses.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need health insurance, you need to make this free call and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you get it. They specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need affordable health insurance to get it.
Here's the number. Call right now.
800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Don't take risks with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable family health insurance, call now.
800-799-9991. 800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Not available in all states. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Not licensed in New York.
Mr. Jackson, we're calling to say you're late on your credit card bill. Can you please call us to schedule a payment and avoid future late fees?
If you're getting collection calls from your credit card companies and you want to put a stop to it, gather your bills now and call the Debt Helpline.
Mr. Jackson, we've been trying to reach you. If we don't hear from you soon, your account will go into collections.
We can help you stop the late and over limit fees on most of your credit cards and reduce your high interest rates, in some cases up to 60%.
Mr. Jackson, this is our last warning call. The next call will be from our legal department.
Get your debt and credit card bills under control. Gather your bills and call today for a free consultation on how we can help you get out of debt. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. That's 800-948-6815.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master?
Yeah!
Well, stop dreaming and start shopping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-yah!
The Karate Glove chops through anything. Just put it on and instantly chop through wood.
Hi-yah!
Concrete.
Hi-yah!
Brick walls.
Hi-yah!
Trees.
Hi-yah!
Small cars. It can even chop through these 8 guitars.
Hi-yah!
It chops things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-ya time!
Welcome back to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'm taking you on a journey through Napa Valley. We've had great guests today giving you some advice when you're visiting the Valley, but I'm going to hit on 3 things real quick. There are certain things you have to do when you go out to the Valley. One is go to the Martini House. You definitely have to experience that restaurant in St. Helena. But also for those of you who want to see the most gorgeous sunset and want to have the best cocktail out there, you have to go up off the Silverado Trail to Auberge de Soleil. It's going to be a pretty penny to go there, but it's definitely worth seeing the view. Once you get thrown out of those 2 fine establishments, I would recommend you going to Oakville Grocery, picking up a sandwich and picnicking somewhere in the Valley. And for those of you who really want to do something different and laid back, there is a place out there called Taylor's Refresher. It is a quote-unquote drive-in from 1950, and I would advise you to get there by at least 11:15 if you don't want to stand in line for 30 minutes. Best gourmet hamburgers, bring your own bottle, sit out there, relax, and enjoy, and it's a great place to really catch up with the locals and see the social scene. Those are the high points of Napa, but I do have to close on this note. I did make a comment about my West Coast friends talking about the fact that us East Coasters get out there and feel like you're on Quaaludes because you move a lot slower than we do. But I have to admit, it all comes down to us being jealous of that beautiful, amazing lifestyle you have. From the roses to the greenery to the great attitudes and everything you have out there, that's the advice I give to those of you going to the Valley. Take a deep breath and take it all in. It is an amazing experience, whether you're going to cruise around Carneros and take views of the ocean, whether you're going to go up to Calistoga and enjoy the mud baths, whether you're going to go up at Auberge de Soleil and see the most beautiful sunset you have seen in ages that'll bring tears to your eyes. Remember, it's all a California lifestyle. Be calm, be patient, and enjoy. Leave your cares behind. Well, I am Laura Lawson. Those are my finer points of advice for seeing the Valley. For all of you who tolerated me when I was out there, I certainly appreciate it, and I'll look forward to seeing you again. But until then, this is the Wine Crush reminding you to drink responsibly, sip socially, drink what you like, not what you're told, and in vino veritas, in wine there is truth.